Evening, as we come to pay tribute in memory of Marie Gunn, we also come to try as a group to bring comfort and cheer to all. You know, for me to be able to stand here today and have a part in this service is a great honor. I've been a privilege to be a part of this family for near 60 years, and there have been great memories of joy with Aunt Bree, all the family, a few sad days, but mostly happy days, glorious days, because of their faith, her faith, our faith. If Aunt Reed could speak to us today, possibly she would want to share some of her favorite scriptures, because I've known her to do that many times. She might say, let's rest a while. In fact, just a few days ago, I think almost 3 weeks ago, the last thing that I heard her say was, I want to rest. And we can be so thankful today that she is at rest, because we have this assurance from Christ. She knew the Lord in a very personal way. Now she's privileged to be with Him. I think she could very well have penned, or at least thought, the words of this 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for the assurance that we have that Aunt Ree knew You as not only her creator, her preserver, but her keeper, her shepherd, Lord and Master of her life. She lived by the promises, Father, that You know that she trusted You. She knew that the day would come when she would walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that You would be there to receive her, as You had promised, that You would take her home to be with You in that place that You had prepared for her. With that assurance, she graciously entered into this rest. Father, we ask that You shall provide for us that same assurance day by day, that same joy. Help us all to come to know more personally, in a more trustworthy manner, You as our great shepherd, that we too can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I need nothing more. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a sad occasion that brings us together, but I have to say, as I told the family in the room prior to our coming out here, that a time like this can also be a great joy, as you don't just remember the final days of a loved one who's passed away and the difficulties that may have come along with those days, but you also gather in memory of her life, and you celebrate her life, and getting to know this family has been a real blessing to me. Getting to talk to Martha and hear about her mother and hear from Jim and others and hear good music like this. It's a remarkable legacy of faith that in large measure is due to this woman in whose memory we gather today. It's interesting to me, when someone passes away, I like to try to either get a hold of the Bible that they used or to hear from loved ones. What were some of the favorite verses? What did they like to read or what did they like to hear? And when Martha was talking with me about that, she said 3 John verse 4. And I have to tell you, I've studied the book a long time and I've got the degrees to prove it and all that kind of thing. But when she pulled 3 John 4 out on me, I had to confess I was a little ignorant. I didn't say that on the phone, Martha. I acted like I knew exactly what you were talking about, you know, because that's the way us preachers have to be. But I had to go look it up afterward. But listen to this verse. And as I've gotten to know this lady, it could have been written by her. No greater joy can I have than this, to hear that my children follow the truth. Is that beautiful? No greater joy can I have than this, to hear that my children follow the truth. Again, it's such a joy as a pastor to get to know people. When you come to a large church like this, I'm in my fourth year now, celebrating my fourth year this month, as a matter of fact, fourth year anniversary. It's hard to get to know folks. And Marie was already in her declining years when I came here. I visited with her in the hospital at least once, but I did not get to really know her. But what has been a joy to me is talk to the people that did know her and to hear about her. With some people, you understand, you can measure how long they live. With others, a more accurate measurement is how much they give. And with somebody like Marie Gunn, there's a combination of those two qualities that's delightful. Here's a woman that lived a long, long time and saw tremendous change in her life, but also gave so much. And her legacy of faith, her gifts of love and faith, will echo through her family for generations to come. And that's a marvelous blessing to us all. It's entirely appropriate that her funeral service be held in a church that she loved. Until her death, she was the oldest living charter member of Spring Hill Baptist Church. Her love for this church is matched only by her influence. Let me tell you some of the things I learned about her in the last few days. I love to talk to people who know somebody that passed away. Tell me about them. And it was a joy and a delight to hear about her. Her church meant so much to her, and she invested so much of her life in this church. In fact, if I were to come up with a single quality that I can discern about Marie Gunn's life, is that she was trustworthy and faithful. Whatever she put her heart and mind to, she stayed with it. That applied to her marriage, her church, and her work, as I'll say in a few moments. But she was able to hearken back to the very beginning of this church. And I heard a great story, Dr. Claff, about that first little building in which you all met. That served also as the parsonage, is that right? So I suppose you had the services in your living room or something like that. And as I understand it, Ida, his wife, would often be, as my wife does, she puts on something to cook while she's at church. And the aroma of her Sunday pot roast or the chicken or whatever would waft through the sanctuary of that little living room. And I would imagine it would be a tremendous temptation and distraction for the congregation. I have enough trouble keeping them awake without worrying about whether they can smell their lunch. And I just think that's a great, great story. She loved Dr. Clapp and she loved Dr. Gunnels, my predecessor. I understand Dr. Gunnels did your father's funeral. And I heard also that your brother died just prior to your father, or right about the same time. And I understand it was a double funeral. Well, that, again, anchors you to a church in ways those of us who have not gone through those kind of times can only guess. But when you have seen somebody you love die in a church and the funeral service be performed there, that, again, says something about your connection to this place of worship. She was faithful even late in life. I talked to her Sunday school teacher, Elizabeth Ann Scott, and she loved to go to Sunday school even when her hearing was not all that good. And it was very difficult for her to hear what was being talked about, but she wanted to be there. And it impressed me again as I was talking to Elizabeth and thinking about this. There are so many ways in which a church is an extended family. And her Sunday school class was an extended family for her. She loved to be there among her sisters. And she loved to talk with them and to hear from them. And if she missed, I'm sure that was a big part of her life that she missed out on. Those ladies relied on each other. They were indeed an extended family. She wanted to be there. She loved to dress nicely and loved to look just so. And some of the family are nodding and smiling. Again, I didn't get to see this, but I know the kind of lady we're talking about today. Loved to dress in a certain way, and it was, I suppose, a blessing for her when somebody came up to her and said, "You look so nice today. We just think you look so nice." Even if you had to get right in her face to tell her so that she could hear. She was an encourager, I understand, and I can tell you as a pastor, we rely on these kinds of people. You need encouragers in a church. I've often talked about the fact that you got balcony and basement people in the church. You got some people that lift you up, the balcony people, and you got some people that drag you down. Those are the basement people. And you always will have both kinds in a church. Marie Gunn was one of those balcony people, an encourager. Again, it's been said that some people bring happiness whenever they come. Other people bring happiness whenever they go. She seemed to bring happiness whenever she came. An encourager is a rich, rich blessing to all the people around her. I'll tell you something about encouraging people. All of us are richly blessed by God. You realize that, don't you? We all have tremendous blessings from God. But there are only a few of us that realize it. And I think learning about Marie, she was one who knew it. And a person who is tuned in to what God is doing is able to encourage others. And to say, this is the way that God has blessed you. Let me be a blessing to you as well. She was that kind of person. I had the honor and the privilege of speaking at Dr. Walter's church, First Baptist Church Mobile, this morning. It's a series of lectures that they give every year. And just a delight to meet with that extended family that birthed this church. But many people there already knew that this funeral was today. Marie Gunn had passed away. And I don't know that I've had a chance to say to you, Martha, but so many people said they knew her and they remembered what she was like and hoped they were able to make it to the funeral. So her influence went beyond just this local church. It went to an extended family of churches, at least a First Baptist church. Whatever she did, as I said earlier, she did it with great faith and enthusiasm. She was a salesperson with Gafers, a name that would resonate with all Mobilians, although it was out of business by the time I arrived on the scene. But she worked at Gafers for a long, long time, downtown on Dauphin Street. And then when it moved out to Springdale Mall, she made the move out there as well, retired from there. And I understand was so well connected to the store and loved it so much that when it was sold to Dillard's and was about to change over, she wanted to tour through it one more time and did so in her wheelchair. That's dedication, friends. That's real dedication to the place where you worked. Her home for 49 years was on Auburn Drive. She worked with her husband, John, to make it a lovely place. And you all know there's a difference between a house and a home. She apparently and obviously did the kind of things that made that a home, a place where I'm sure you as grandchildren or great-grandchildren visited and have warm memories. There's something about a grandparent's house that's very special. It has a certain aroma. It's redolent of warm memories and meals that were served there. And the kitchen tables are often places where the family history is shared and stories are exchanged. It's a wonderful place. My nonny and granddaddy's home was like that. She was a gardener. She loved her African violets. I have somewhat of a connection here with her. My mother loved African violets. And I know that that's a delicate plant to raise. Never could give them too much water. Mom was always afraid we'd give them too much water and rot the roots or something of that nature. I think it was her fear. But she knew how to do it and knew how to fix her yard just so, often winning Garden of the Month awards and working in the garden clubs. I think that's a significant fact about her. You know, God is a gardener. His first creation for us was a garden. He didn't set up a condominium. He didn't set up a park or anything like that. He set up a garden in which to house his first son and daughter on earth. He loved gardens. And I think people who have a talent and a desire to work with the soil and a love for the beautiful colors of plants, I think they have a special place in God's heart. I think perhaps they hear the message of grace in a special way and give expression to it through their gardening. And as is often the case in her later years, she needed the loving care of her children in a special way in her sunset years. Martha cared for her along with her husband. Jim is here to bring a message from God's Word. I read in the paper today there were 11 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, 7 great-great-grandchildren. I began to wonder if this lady's name was not Sarah. Along with many nieces and nephews, grandchildren called her Mamaw. I had a Mamaw, and she was a godly lady. Maybe there's something about that name. But she was known as Aunt Ree to those who were nieces and nephews, as John mentioned just a minute ago. I noticed he referred to her as Aunt Ree. All of us, you understand, are given a great gift from God. It's the gift of life. It's a gift that we're to cherish, that we're never to take for granted. We are to protect it physically, but also spiritually. We're to enjoy it every single day. There are certain saints that walk among us. These are not people that you will find in icons and churches. They're just people whose histories of faith have made them so warm and dear to church members. And I can assure you that Marie Gunn was one of those kinds of people. A person who exhibited a warm and strong faith in God. A realization that life is a great gift from God was something to be cherished. And she did cherish it. And so today, as we gather in her memory, memories of her death, her recent days of struggle are still quite fresh, and they're probably painful. And there's a hole in our lives whenever someone dies. There's never a time when someone's death is painless for us. Even after a long struggle, when someone passes away, there's a ragged hole there for a while that takes a while to heal. And that's just a part of the grieving process. But I can tell you this. When a person has lived faithfully before God and before other people, the memories of a difficult passing will be quickly replaced by warm memories of a life of faith. And so you will celebrate her life today and for the remainder of your days as the echoes of her faith resonate from generation to generation. I thank God for people like Marie Gunn. I thank God that her life is not extinguished by death, and that one day we can all look forward to being reunited with her and others like her in God's heaven.
We're here to say today to honor my mother, Marie Gunn, and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. My mother was proud of her children. It bothered her a little bit that her son, who was an electrical engineer, was in the yard business and pulled weeds for other people. But it pleased her that I was a preacher. My mother was, and my sister and I have talked about this a lot, but she was conscious of the time. Time was very important to Marie Gunn. If you look in a good dictionary, you'll find that a good dictionary will give you about a half a page as far as a definition of time. But very simply, time has a beginning and it has an end. And we are creatures of time. We were created in the image and the likeness of God. That is, we are finite. We are limited by time and by space. But God is eternal. And that means He is not bound by time and space. And God is outside of and distinct from His creation. God created time. And before there was anything of a material nature, before there was matter, before there was evening and morning, a first day, there was God. Pure spirit, complete and sufficient in Himself. When the Apostle Paul addressed the philosophers on Mars Hill, who were very religious, but they did not know the only true God. And just a part of his sermon from Acts 17, I want to read this to you.
Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the divine nature as like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And the man that Paul refers to is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus came out of the grave, Christians have the assurance that we too will be raised in a glorified body. And the reason time should be important to each of us is that because this life is the only time that we will have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. My mother, Marie Gunn, trusted in Jesus Christ, and I believe she would want me to use this occasion to honor her life by telling you how important your life is to God. A human soul is so important to God that he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. And the wonder of it all is that God saves sinners. And we live in a time when most people don't really believe that they're good enough to go to heaven. But they surely don't believe that they're bad enough to go to hell. The truth is that no one is good enough to go to heaven apart from the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth is that every one of us deserves to be in hell. I mean no disrespect to Springer Baptist by what I'm going to say, but my mother was a charter member of Spring Hill Baptist Church, and I'm comforted in the knowledge that she trusted Jesus Christ. But you must not trust in charter memberships or any other organizational affiliation. When I was about 14 years old, I made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and I was baptized. And my name is on that bronze plaque out there on the front of the building. I was known as Jimmy Gunn back then. I was a charter member of Spring Hill Baptist Church, but I was still lost and dead in trespasses and sins. And the only time I used the name of Jesus was as a swear word. When I was nearly 33 years old, I heard the gospel, and the Holy Spirit convicted me of sin and guilt, and God saved me. That was over 35 years ago, and I'm still growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is offered to sinners. Salvation is not a multiple choice examination where a person may select to follow Islam or the teachings of Buddha and be saved. Salvation is Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that brings me back to this theme of time. The devil wants you to worry about the past. Things that you have done, things you should have done. But the past is gone. And the devil wants you to worry about the future, over which you have no control. The only time you have is right now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Anyone who knew my mother knows how the clock governed her days. We had little family jokes about it. Not to ridicule my mother, but that's the way she is. And somewhere along the way, she had determined that you were supposed to go to bed at 9 p.m. Now, she may sit in the chair and sleep from 6 to 9, but she didn't go to bed until 9 p.m. So time was important to Marie Gunn. From Tuesday this past week until about 1:30 a.m. on Thursday, my mother was at the point of death, and the hospice nurses asked Martha and me why she was holding on. Why wouldn't she give it up? They asked, had we told her that we loved her, and had we said goodbye? Was she waiting on someone or waiting on something? And we couldn't think of anything. Well, early on Thursday morning, Martha and I were sitting at the table, and they were tending to Mother, and Martha said, "You know, I've told Mother that it's all right to go." But she said, "You know what I haven't told her? I haven't told her it's time to go." So while Martha was out of the room, I went in the room and I leaned over and got real right in her ear. And I said, "Mother, this is Jim. I love you. It's all right to go, and it's time to go." And in 20 minutes, she was gone. Now Mother has something better than anything she ever had before. She's with Jesus, and she's seen Him. You and I, who believe in Jesus Christ, have not seen Him. We will, but she's seen Him. We may miss our mother and sister and grandmother and aunt and friend. We may miss her. But she doesn't miss us. Revelation 21, which is a description of heaven, a couple of verses there. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There should be no pain, for the former things have passed away." And I think Mother would want me to ask you this question. What are you doing with the time that you have?
Now, Father, we are so grateful today that the words of Scripture are true, that the memory of the righteous is a blessing. As we have shared great memories, Father, today, may we go in peace, comforted by the thought that this wonderful lady's life is not extinguished by that great enemy of death, but rather is preserved by your power of resurrection. We thank you, Father, that as we have heard sung today, she has been welcomed home. We look forward to that day, Father, when we will all be reunited in our home in heaven. And we will celebrate there together, your presence complete and full. We shall see you as you are indeed. To that we look forward. And until that day, Father, help us all to walk faithfully in the joy of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.